This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And we had the first week of Jefferson District play. A lot of exciting games. One really exciting finish with Monticello and Western. And we're going to dive right into it. But let's start with the C&G Road Grader of the Week. And, you know, we got to give it to this guy. This is a team that we have said over and over again that we feel like is better than their record. And they showed it against Alomar, Orange County. And it's got to be Colby McGee.
Yeah, I mean, you look what Orange did offensively here. You know, they've always sort of run varied looks over there, but you expect big things from Jalen Alexander, and that's exactly what you got. 19 carries, 155 yards on the ground. But keeping Walter Johnson, you know, upright. He goes 7 for 11, passing 3 touchdowns, 194 yards. And then you get another 111 yards of rushing from Paul Poirier.
So, yeah, he had the big one, like the 81 or whatever that popped. Like,
so all in all, you're talking 501 yards of offense, you know, buck 94 through the air, and then two and change over there on the ground, just two guys. I mean, that's 266 yards and just two players on the ground there. So great job on you know, the Orange offensive line against this Alomar squad to sort of get upfield, do that run blocking, and we've seen with McGee, you know, watching some of his highlight tapes. I mean, this is a guy they move around a lot. You know, they swing him off the edge. I mean, he's obviously a reliable tackle, but this is a guy who can really move, create some creases for these great backs they have over at Orange, and they just did a bang up job. I mean, this game was never really in doubt for them. And they just came out there and they got business done. I mean, look at the final there, 50-7. And they were up 14-7 in the first and then just sort of rolled it in halftime, taking a 35-7 lead there.
They've had this really hard task with the offensive line out there where they've got to be blocking, you know, 8 or 9 guys in the box. At some point, the numbers game just doesn't play in your favor. And so the offensive line maybe looks more porous than it really is. But I think there's a collection of pretty good players out there between, you know, McGee, a couple other guys that have really stepped up in a big way, you know, guys that are kind of, you know, fitting into new roles. And there's a reason why Jalen Alexander has churned out a lot of yards. He's done some of it on his own, but he's done a lot of it because some of these offensive linemen are pretty good at opening up creases, making things happen. Now that they got, you know, a little bit better quarterback play from Johnson and, you know, they're protecting him, like you said, keeping him upright, I think that really makes a big difference for an Orange team that like is used to blocking 9 guys in the box, it feels like.
Yeah, and I mean, even coming to this week where you have Louisa on the schedule for them, quick turnaround to play the undefeated team left in the Jefferson district. You look at Orange, you say, well, they've already had the baptism by fire.
Yeah.
You know, when you've already played in Eastern View and in Cortland, a couple of these teams, they've already sort of gone out there and done this. So I don't think they're going to be sort of shock and awe by the things that Louisa does defensively. And that's, you know, a win like this, just get a little bit of confidence. And I think that adds a little more juice to this game. The Battle of the Gordonsville Tasty Freeze has got just a little more on the line this week than it did last week based on the results here.
Yeah, I think it's big, and congratulations to Colby McGee, man. A heck of an effort this week from him, that whole offensive line group for the Hornets. So, impressive little performance. So, offensive player of the week, this one was an easy one, an absolute no-brainer, because he got a lot of things done, piled up a ton of yards, and it's Malachi Fields over there at Monticello.
Yeah, we'd sort of teased it in previous weeks that there is a guy in the JD who can do things on his own, mm-hmm. and make you pay. And obviously this is a team win for them, but Fields' performance stands out when you got 218 in the air and then another 130 on the ground with 3 rushing touchdowns, 1 passing touchdown, and obviously the big one in overtime.
Yeah,
I mean, just a great effort from a young kid too.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got a lot of football mileage on him. You know, coming in last year and playing for the Mustangs, taking over for Kevin Jarrell, and it's just, I mean, he's all over the field too. I mean, it's not just at quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's just a a lot of effort and will from this kid who, you know, he's the most athletic player on this team. And he comes out there and shows it. And he's a tough-nosed kid. You just like the effort.
And his guys believe in him. Yeah. They believe that Malachi Fields is going to do Malachi Fields stuff. And he did a lot of that against Western. You know, Western was aware. You know, it's not – he's no secret. You know what you're getting into when you take on Fields. But I think that the emergence of Armstrong out at receiver has really helped him in a big way. That kid's a soccer goalie who has come in, and he seems like he's catching dang near everything. He caught one off of a tip. He caught another one just where, like, two guys were kind of crossing. Clearly a route combination either got messed up, or that's a most perfectly designed timing play I've seen, but he kind of caught it running, like, right across, and that one went in for a touchdown. I mean, Armstrong is playing really well.
Will Trent's another guy for them.
Will Trent's a guy that they've done a good job of getting the ball in his hands lately, but I think that once you start to get some pieces around him, that opens some things up for a guy like Fields who can take off. And they shoved him in there on that last one. They jammed him in there and got it in and got the job done. Really put the pressure on the Warriors, who then responded and made the choice to go for two on the road. I think that's what you live with.
Yeah, I don't think anybody questions that.
That's all good football. That's just good football, that's standard operating procedure. You want to go for two on the road.
And no team is ever going to be upset because your coach said, we're playing for the win here.
Hey, man, they went for the win, and it was a tough snap for Carter Shiflett, but he was able to get outside, nearly had a shot at it. But, yeah, in any event, tremendous performance from Malachi Fields. He continues to develop. He continues to get a little bit better. He does a really nice job of picking his spots against the Warriors, whether he was running or passing. A lot of that decision-making is left up to him, and it seems like his decision-making is continuing to get better. Already a kid who really – athletics clearly clicks for him.
Yeah.
You know, he has, like, that sort of high athletic IQ, and I think that it's pretty exciting to see that start to come together for them. Huge for Mustangs to get a win. Both teams needed that one. And that's a monster one for a Monticello team that struggled to get them over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and Jeff Lloyd had talked about it after the loss early on to Spotsylvania there, that, hey, just hang with me, guys. just weather the storm a little bit here. We have the opportunity to really improve as a team and pick up some wins here. And I think just getting that one under the belt, we'll see what happens with Orange with that as the season goes along. We'll see what happens with Monticello. Sometimes I think it just takes one. For some of these teams to start to put together a different kind of season. Maybe October looks a little bit different than September for a lot of these JD schools.
No question. Defensive player of the week, we got to go with the other huge win from this week, which was Nelson County re-enters the Dogwood District after a two-year absence, and Kevin Carter comes up big for them. 50-42 win over Alta Vista. 8 tackles, 2 for a loss. I mean, a really big performance from the defensive end, and a big performance from Nelson overall. You know the Dogwood pretty well. That's a monster victory for them to get started.
We've gotten to know them because Goochland and Buckingham over the years, they've run into these guys in sort of their out-of-district schedule a little bit, and then also in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We know Appomattox, their sort of reputation speaks for itself in that district. They've owned it the last couple of years, but there's just a lot of good teams. Before them, it was Gretna that used to run things over there. There are no real easy wins in that, and I'm glad to see Nelson jump back into that schedule. That's where the history of that school is. So that 29 South corridor, heading all the way down to Danville there. It's just good to see them get the win. Here they are. They sit at 3-2. A chance to make some noise. I mean, it's just good on Nelson for sticking with it. And they go out there, beat the teams that you're supposed to beat in a Rappahannock, and then come out and get a team that's really had your number for a long time in Alta Vista, and do it in a tough game, 50-42. That's not easy. That's hanging on and riding it out.
Big performance, Kevin Carter, really aggressive defensive end. They've done a good job of the last couple of years of having ends who can have an impact. That's really, really big at the smaller school level in particular, where you're going to see even more running than you will see in the upper level. You've got to have defensive ends who can either hold the point of attack or can attack from that spot and clear the way and get past people and make some noise and disrupt the backfield. I think that's really key, and clearly I think Matt Hicks has figured that piece out, that he has got to have good athletes there, and Carter with a really big performance from that spot. So that takes us in. Let's start right there with the governors, because we want to talk about playoff ratings. The very first playoff ratings came out from the VHSL for this year, and I think we got to start with the governors, because this is the first time in, I don't know, a lot of years that we've been talking about Nelson County being in playoff position, and they are in it right now, seventh in Region 2C. That's just huge for this program.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good region there. Some teams that we've seen over the years put together a lot of playoff wins. You're looking at a Radford squad that had an undefeated regular season run not too long ago. Gretna, Dan Rivers, always in the mix. That's another really tough Dogwood District team. I mean, so Nelson sits there at seven. I mean, currently matched up with Gretna, a team that they'll get to look at. They're going to – I mean, the good thing for them is the guys ahead of them, for the most part, they're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to see Appomattox. They're going to see Dan River, and they're going to see Gretna. So, you know, Nelson will know what it's up against before they can hold on to this position here in this seventh slot or move up. They should have a pretty good idea what to expect maybe in one of these first or second round games. But yeah, I mean, it just makes a huge difference just halfway through the season. Now you're talking about, hey, we got something extra to play for.
Yeah.
This isn't just about like development and trying to build the program. This is about, let's go see if we can pick up a couple W's in November.
Yeah, it's kind of it's similar to what happened with Fluvanna last year, where you know, yes, like they were thrilled to get the early wins, but like then it became about something bigger. Like, and then they went down and they challenged a Brookville, a banged up Brookville team, but it's still a darn good Brookville program. They went down there and challenged them when they played that game in Amherst and nearly, you know, nearly pulled it off, nearly, you know, got an upset. You never know what can happen in those first-round playoff games. We've seen enough of those upsets over the years to know that sometimes some weird things can go down. Nelson now gets a similar chance. Yeah, like, hey, you're thrilled that you got three wins, but, like, now it's time to, like, focus up and say, hey, look.
Let's go get a home game.
Let's go get a home game. Let's go get a playoff game. Let's get a shot at the playoffs for the first time in, you know, a long time. We'll look up all the numbers on those, but when that time comes, but a huge chance for Nelson County to really make a difference in this program's consistent, you know, improvement under Matt Hicks. Those 2 years as an independent clearly paid off, getting the big win over Alta Vista, and it's maybe setting the table for bigger things to come the rest of this season. So the other Class 2 region that we pay attention to for obvious reasons, Region 2B, home of Buckingham and Madison. Madison, obviously, at 0-4, sitting on the outside looking in at 11. But Buckingham County, if you want to get an idea of how many teams are picking up a lot of wins, Buckingham County is 3-1. They got a win over Appomattox, and they are still sitting at 6th in what's a pretty darn tough region. But
And a Buckingham team that one loss is an overtime loss to Goochland. So... I mean, that's
not enough style points in these VHSL.
No,
you come on, where are you at?
But from a power ranking standpoint, if we were doing things, we'd certainly,
no question,
you know, sort of make some concessions there. But yeah, I mean, above them, all really good teams: Luray unbeaten, Stuart Straff unbeaten, Strasburg, Page County, Clark County, all at 3-1. Buckingham at 3-1, and I will lay good money if Buckingham stays healthy, they're going to finish 9-1.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see them move up in these standings a little bit. But yeah, it's really just a matter of keeping Tay Tony healthy. Kid had 5 touchdowns, I think, last week. I mean, he can fly. He's an athlete, and we're getting to see him. I mean, he was dinged up in the previous 2 years as a starter at quarterback. This year, he looks good, and there's not a lot other teams can do about him. When you have a Cole Edmonston up front leading an offensive line that's just got a bunch of big meanies on it, and sort of a defensive-minded head coach and Seth Wilkerson that just wants to run the ball down everybody's throat and then go out there and make tackles.
Just smash people.
They're starting to build that playoff resume this could be a very fun team to watch in November when the weather turns cold and sour. This team has all those little things. You're like, oh, this is an easy sort of design or plan to try and build a solid playoff run. Let's play defense and just pound the rock.
So really exciting. Buckingham looking like they're in pretty good shape. That's always a plus. Then we got the region that we have the most teams locally in the mix, and that's Region 3C. Another super powerful region. Up at the top, you got Heritage and Lynchburg sitting at 4-1. Spotswood at 5-0 at number 2. Rockbridge at number 3 at 4-1. Liberty Christian at 3-1. And then you get the first local squad in the mix, Fluvanna County, 3-1. A pretty good start by the Flucos. Now they jump into the Jefferson District play. Things are going to look a little bit different. And in some cases, a little more challenging for the Flucos. But 3-1 is a really good spot you know, for where Fluvanna is, they've got to feel pretty good about it. The one loss is to Spotsy. You know, I believe that's right, right?
Mm-hmm. Spotsy. Yep.
So Spotsy is in really, really good shape in their playoff race. They're at 5 in Region 4B, which we're going to talk about in a second. But, you know, when you look at that, Fluvanna County has been playing really good football. They've got that identity down. They're running behind Waltz dribbling. They got a different rusher stepping up every week. This week it was the Keontae kid. And I think that when you got that kind of play happening, and you got different guys stepping up and you got a quarterback who's really steady in Kobe Edmonds, you got to be excited about what you're seeing out of Fluvanna.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the teams in the region we've sort of seen on some of these JD slates. We've seen Spotswood, do some real work on our JD teams.
Yeah,
we've seen Turner Ashby. We'll get sort of a better idea what this region's going to look like. It's, you know, Monticello. Maybe, I mean, Fort Defiance sitting there at 2-2. Maybe you can leapfrog them somehow. Just pick up a couple wins here and there. Charlottesville and Westman's in the same boat as Monticello there with the one win. Maybe they can sneak up on somebody. But it's all JD schools going forward for these teams. I think Western's still got the one game with Monroe hanging out there, and who is another team sitting in playoff position the other side of this region. It'll be interesting going forward. The Flucos, they did the same thing that they did last year, which was come out here and put a really nice first half of the season together, and now it's about trying to close out. I mean, last year their schedule was so backloaded with really mm-hmm. good teams, so I think that sucked a little bit of wind out of the sail before they got into the playoffs. This year they have an opportunity to, I mean, it's not that much easier of a schedule for them. It sort of plays out in a similar way, but a team with a little more familiarity of the situation now.
Yeah.
We'll see where it carries them these next five games for them.
Yeah, really big. And I called him Keontae Hearns was the kid that played the really big performance, over 100 yards on just a few touches for the Flucos. And, you know, I think what they're doing defensively is impressive too. You know, Waynesboro has struggled, but to hold them to 8 and to really kind of get the job done early and play a lot of young guys and build depth, that's really, you know, the kind of performance you're looking for. You got a big Elijah Bullock, a guy who came in a 70-yard punt return for a touchdown. I mean, they had some really big plays coming from some big teams, and I think that that's really, you know, kind of what you want to see from Fluvanna right now. And then, like you said, in the bottom half of that region 3C, you got three teams that, you know, Monticello already has the early leg up with the win over Western. They're sitting at 10 in the region, so they're two spots out of the playoffs. Western and Charlottesville got a lot of work to do, but they're going to get to see each other. You know, that's going to be one where somebody moves up a little bit. And then, you know, you got a lot of games. That's a big region, and it's a region that's really top-heavy, but maybe there's going to be a chance to make some movement over these next few weeks. Over in Region 3B, we got a new addition. Goochland's in it. Region 3B has been notoriously, I don't know what the right word is.
I'll just say there's a lot of parody.
There's a lot of parody. There's a lot of weirdness in Region 3B. You're sitting right now, there's only a few teams with winning records right now in that. You got Goochland at 3-1, George Mason at 3-2, Central Woodstock at 3-2.
And Goochland is 2 decimal points away from being the top ranked team in that district.
Yeah, and the rest,
a better record than Monroe, but they're behind them.
Yeah, but Goochland's going to have a tough time because James River is going to suck them down a little bit. James Monroe is 2-2, and they're number one in the region. Region 3B has been consistently weird since we moved to this format. They continue to be one of these strange ones. And William Monroe is sitting in playoff position, even though they're just sitting at 1-3 right now. So
yeah, we've seen since sort of the creation of the Northwestern District, mm-hmm. it has been absolute chaos over there. And it's a big district.
Big moves. Yeah. You can move up in a big way at times because everybody is sort of sitting around in the same spot. A lot of respect for James Monroe. They got Aiden Ryan. They blew out Charlottesville. That's a really good football team. We already know Goochland, really good football team.
They
year
shook
in and year
off
out.
that early loss pretty quick. Going out there on the road, getting the win over Buckingham. They'll be getting points from them as the season goes along. Goochland, very different than the 33-0 loss at Lafayette, another really good school. And then they're about to roll through some interesting games here. Amelia, Prince Edward, and Nottoway coming up in their next three games. And then they finish out the season with maybe they can get something out of Central, although Central has not been what they've been before in previous years. So Goochland in the driver's seat as far as controlling their playoff destiny. That's another team we said Buckingham, I'd be very shocked if they didn't finish 9-1. Goochland's the other guy where I'd be very surprised if they don't also run 9-1.
Yeah, so really big, good early spot for Goochland, sitting there with William Monroe, right there in Region 3B. Both are in playoff position. We'll see how things got to develop.
Monroe coming off that Madison win, that's a big one for them, too.
So maybe that sparks them. They're getting in that Northwestern district, and they've had some success in there. That's been a good spot for them. So it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of starts to play out for them. And then, you know, we touched on it, but earlier talking about Spotsylvania, but Region 4B remains one of the state's toughest, like not a region you want to play around.
It's the same four schools every year.
That top half is good.
And what it means is in the second round, you get an unbelievable game. Last year we got Louisa, Eastern View, two teams that we really wanted to see line up against each other. And the theatrics there were absolutely, I mean, out of this world. That was a wild football game. And it looks like we're going to get another. I mean, the year before it was Louisa Monacan.
Yeah.
We got a thriller on the road out there. So it looks like we're just going to run it back again with Louisa at one.
If you
Eastern
can come
Hewitt
out of Region 4B, you're feeling really good about things.
Powhatan, a team that we're used to seeing. They're sitting up there at three. And then Monacan at four, Spotsylvania, Patrick Henry, Chancellor, and Huguenot. And then Orange County, let's see if their resume doesn't improve here. I think that's the JD team. We've been sort of heavy-handed on it for previous weeks, but if I had to pick one of the teams that sort of started off with one of the Ofer teams, I think Orange has the schedule in place. Maybe this week's tough playing Louisa County, but you look at the way things set up for them the rest of the way, they have a lot of things in place to improve their maybe there's a team they can get to 5-5,
mm-hmm.
And move shoot up the charts and improve their position to 12 right here. Maybe find a way to pass Huguenot or Chancellor.
Yeah, and Louisa being at number one, we're used to that in Region 4B football. You know, they've earned it with an incredible win over Massaponix.
They did it with their out of district schedule this year.
Yeah,
I mean that's how they raced out to this front. And this is a team that has been rooting for these other squads to win their out-of-district games. I mean, just do us some favors so we can keep this top ranking because they don't want to see it just sort of slide. Eastern View suddenly jump them, you know, as they go through their JD slate.
So I think it's a really good sign for Louisa that they're a 4-0.
Yeah.
And Eastern View has one more game, and they're still up 4 points. I'm not a math genius on this stuff, but that seems like that's a really good sign for the Lions.
Yeah, and you know they have a Fluvanna team with 3 wins right now that's on their schedule. That's important. So yeah, they just want to see parity within this JD. You know, obviously nothing that they don't want to drop any games themselves.
No,
but
behind them,
yes. But everybody else beating the snot out of everybody else is perfectly okay in Will Patrick's book.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about Region 4B is that if you look from 2 to 8, only 2 points, 2.2 points separate the number 2 team from the number 8 team.
Yeah,
like this is a loaded.
It just tells you everybody knows that if you want to get that top spot in this region, you're going to have to go out and play some big game schools,
and you're going to have to win. Yeah. And you're going to have to win a lot. And you're going to have to maybe win all the time to get to that top spot.
But you look at those top four teams, three of those top four teams have been in the top four the last two playoff runs.
Yep.
So, I mean, it is sort of same familiar names. I mean, a lot of this comes down to these are just established programs. Louisa's been good for, you know, basically forever. Eastern View's been,
good since they were founded, yeah. Essentially. Back to the Stevie Struther days.
Yeah, way back. Yeah. Yeah, before that interpass. That nice red light up in Culpeper. But I mean, and it's good to see Powhatan sort of back in that mix. That was a team that had fallen off after a couple years and you know, a team that used to be a big time playoff resume holder. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough region. But again, nothing new there. It's sort of expected coming in and no surprises so far.
Quick, you know, Region 5D, Almar sitting at 8. We're not sure exactly how that region shakes things out, but they're sitting there 0-5. A lot of work to do for the Patriots to kind of make things happen. And then yeah, you look overall, though, this is a lot of teams that have a lot to play for in the second half of the year. And that brings us to this week where we've got Louisa Orange, a really big game. And I think that, you know, we talked about, yes, the record's not exactly, you know, equal, but, you know, you got to feel pretty good if you're Orange, getting a little bit of momentum going into this one. I think this could be a great showing against Louisa. Would really do a lot for them.
Yeah, it's definitely a show me game. It's got that. I mean, the reputation Louisa brings in. They've had Orange's number for a long time here now too. And so, yeah, the pressure is on Orange to step up and rise to the occasion there. And then if you're Louisa, this is your opportunity to sort of send the message to the rest of the district to be like, this is how far ahead we are of the rest of you. And sort of let the swagger around that program, you know, do what it does. I mean, they've looked so good for the first four games this year. I mean, just, you know, they've already had the bye week. They're staying healthy. They're just, they can do anything on offense. I mean, we know what they like to do is just, you know, slam you with Hunter.
Yeah.
But there's just, I mean, there's a lot to like about this Louisa team defensively, offensively, in the trenches, playmakers.
Got to see the first quarter or so of that Charlottesville game. Obviously, they blew him out early. Robbie Morgan is just so impressive. That is a rugged, tough, hard-nosed runner. And when he's like your second or third option as a runner, that guy's the number one guy on any other team in the district. He's so tremendous. And Caleb Shelton, same deal. All three of those guys, with Jared Hunter, obviously, can run. They get the job done. The pressure that Aponte is bringing on the edge.
Sims, Washington.
Playing Sims in the middle, man. And that's terrifying. You know, we know what it's like with Sims and Alex Washington sitting in the middle. They are really, really good. Aponte is just bringing it on the edge. I love what their ends do. They're really active. They create. They try and disrupt. They make choices. They go after the ball.
And it's just been a defensive strategy at Louisa for quite some time now. We're sort of that 3-5-3 that they like to run. It fits them. They are a linebacker,
it's
running back
so
school. And
versatile, man.
Yeah, you can have sort of a down lineman look to it. With one of those linebackers, but then you can also just sort of swarming mad dog it with five linebackers there. It's just
take advantage of your versatile big athletes.
They play to their strengths over there, and you know, it's all working out so far.
Yeah, and Noah Robinson's back in the fold, man. Big couple of huge catches when like.
Just what everybody needed
to
hear.
What a midseason addition. Yeah. Here comes the Lions. Hey, we're really good. I mean, we got Noah Robinson back now, too. Noah had a huge catch down the sideline that set up an early touchdown. He had another one. I mean, Landon Wilson obviously likes throwing to this guy, and who wouldn't? Noah Robinson's a tremendous receiver, but we know what he can do defensively. There's a reason why ODU wants him to play there. So exciting to see Noah Robinson back. That's a really big moment. Other big games in the area, Monticello and Almar. I think that we could see some round robin type stuff in the bottom half of the district, where any team could beat any team on any given night. Almar gets another chance to pick up that first win when they play Monticello. If they can hem in Malachi Fields, that would be a really big step in the right direction. Charlottesville, I want to state too, Charlottesville I think is a team that is better than their record, and now they get a chance to prove it by going down to Fluvanna County, seeing if they can bring that triple option attack and really kind of take care of business down there. It's going to be tough against the Fluvanna County team that it wants to run that power run. That game could be over in what, hour and 15?
Easy.
That's going to be two teams who want to hold on to the ball. So if both teams would be looking to protect it, that's a really big one for them too. And then a local on local matchup, it's out of the district, but William Monroe Western Almar is going to get interesting.
Yeah, and maybe a must win. If you're Monroe sitting in the 8 spot in Region 3B, and you're Western sitting, I think, 14?
Yeah.
In 3C, looking to make a move, you got to have a win over this team. These teams are not used to playing each other in the regular season, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Firing up this rivalry again, it's not a far drive for either squad. There are real consequences on the line here. This is going to be a big win for somebody.
Fork Union took a tough loss to Norfolk Academy, but they got a big game against St. Chris, a big prep league game there. So we'll see what Fork Union is able to do. That St. Chris team has been really good, already beat Woodbury. That's a big ball game for Fork Union at their place.
And we haven't done the private school rankings, but Fork Union has been in good shape.
Yeah, they're
shape.
In good shape right now.
Blue Ridge, the other school in our area in the private school ranks, that has been in good shape.
They were number one. Tough loss to North Cross, who was number two in Division Two. So now Blue Ridge, you know, gets a chance to kind of make a little bit of a comeback. They're at Norfolk Christian, long trip down there for them. But a win there would be critical in kind of keeping pace, making sure that they're facing North Cross in the state final, because I think that's got to be the goal right now.
Yeah, and then you look at the Woodbury Collegiate game there. Woodbury with already one loss in the prep league, can't afford to lose Collegiate here. Otherwise, you know, you're looking at a different driver. I mean, the prep league has been owned by the Tigers for the last decade. I think Fork Union swiped it from them in 2012, Hackenberg senior year. But even a couple years ago when they had a little bit of a down year, they found a way to get a share of it.
Yeah.
So we'll see in that one. But, starting to get to be that time. that clock hits October, and you're just, okay, these games are starting to really matter.
Things are definitely mattering right now. So thank you for coming along with us. We'll have a coverage of all this week coming up, weekly briefing coming up later this week. If you love what we're doing, jump on Patreon. There's always a link on the website, on the right side of the website. You can jump on there and you can support what we're doing. Really appreciate you coming along with us and listening, and we'll be back next week.